now. So Abram had started off from his home country with his father and left everything that he knew and gone and settled in an unknown land, following the instructions of a God who wasn't his to start with. There were many, many gods that they were worshipping. But Abram had been chosen, and he had listened, and he had obeyed the call, and gone, and left everything. He must have gone through trials and tribulations to get to where he arrived, and he must have listened to God on the way. But then a famine struck, and the first thing that Abram did was thought for himself. He didn't stop. He didn't listen to God. We don't even know if God spoke. But he didn't ask God. He thought for himself. How many of you, when you were doing the napkins, were thinking for yourself, well, I'm sure it was that way. And maybe it was that way. And if I just try something, then it might come out right. Or it might not. As the case may be. But Abram decided to up sticks with everything that he had without following any information or any instruction from God, who he had decided to follow, and left. And they travelled down to Egypt, and there Abram showed his very, very human side when he thought of himself and total self-preservation. He knew of the Egyptian want for beautiful women, but he also knew that he would be killed if he was known as her husband, because the Egyptians had very strict morals and would never have taken Sarah as a wife with her husband still living. They'd just kill him. Not particularly nice morals, but
okay, fair. Nice strict morals. We're not going to pin someone's wife, we'll just murder instead.
So, knowing this, Abram said that she was his sister. The interesting point in all of this, I found, was that God didn't punish Abram for his lack of faith or for his not asking for instructions, for help. The diseases were visited on the Pharaoh for taking Sarah as his wife. And I wonder how many times in our life, what we're going to do, by the way, is we're going to have a little discussion. And I wonder how many times in our life we don't listen to God and we go ahead and we do what we want to do because we think that's the best way or the only way that we can get out of something. How many times do we talk to somebody else before we talk to God? How many times do we sit and consider the things that we are doing or the things that we could do before talking to God? I know that in the late course we're doing a study on prayer and how to pray and different ways of prayer. And prayer is something that is really quite difficult to explain, because we're not talking to somebody who can answer us straight back. We're talking to our Heavenly Father. And we need to know how to open the lines of communication. We need to know how to grow our faith so that we can talk to God and know that he will hear us and that he will answer us. I just wanted to break into little groups. We'll just turn to talk to the person next to you just for a couple of minutes about times in your life when you have turned to somebody else before you've turned to God, and how you felt when you did turn to God, if you turned to God, or why you didn't turn to God in that instance. Okay, why was it important to talk to somebody else but not important enough to talk to God? Okay, so just for a couple of minutes, just going to talk, chat to each other about that. If anybody can think of anything, not to.
Should be the easy bit, chat.
Would anybody like to share?
You all say something, Kathy, but probably 25 years ago now, we had a friend who went to work in India with OMF, and in one of his prayers, as he'd only been there a few months, he wrote back and said how strange he found it that so many Christian people preferred to listen to the voice of man before the voice of God. And I was so challenged by that, because I used to get up, the first thing I did was put the radio on to listen to the news. So I tried not to do that. It wasn't until I was retired that I was able to do it in any sort of comfort. But I do think that that is a terrible distraction. You know, the first thing we do is tune in to the voice of man rather than the voice of God.
Absolutely. And nowadays, the first thing that, there's constant music, constant television. I go into our house very often and the television will be up. Nobody in the room. Nobody in the house. Richard's in bed, there's nobody in, the telly's blaring. Because it's just a constant noise, and it's not that anybody's listening to it, it's just that we have to have noise. I remember when I was doing my GCSEs, I was just listening to records in those days.
Music.
And my mum used to say, why do you always have to have something going on in the background? And I said, because it helps me to relax and to concentrate. But you're right, we do listen for other things, and I think sometimes we're searching for something else to listen to, rather sometimes than the voice of God. Anybody else?
Don't think that sometimes God uses other people or things or groups or whatever to speak to us.
Very often.
If we turn to God first, then that may be the way that he actually guides and leads us.
For that recording thing on there, Margaret's just said maybe God speaks to other people.
You say for the benefit of the tape.
Tape, that's showing your age, Steve.
Sorry. What all the police say.
Gillian, what do you have to say? If you don't mind me jumping on.
I was just saying that it's for people like me who have a very far too big a sense of responsibility for everything, it's very difficult to even let go to speak to God, because I just have that feeling, right, you've just got to get on and do this, regardless of what it is. And I think there are a lot of people, particularly of our generation, who actually were brought up like that, that you take full responsibility for everything that you do, and you don't hesitate, you just get on with it. And then it's really difficult to let go of that. And to talk to God first, because it actually feels like a weakness. I know it's not, I know that's incorrect, but it feels like a weakness if you've got to stop and ask God first. Do you see what...
Yes.
A few nods, yeah.
And when some young people ask us some things, I shake my hand and say, I say, can you imagine us at that age going to someone of our age and asking them that? Worked it out in no time.
But that's part of the not being able to let go and feeling weak about it, isn't it? Mm-hmm.
A little story about that might have told you this before. When we were in China, I was working with Jackie Pullinger down in the drug offenders village, and three of us were going down there, and we all were given directions on how to get there, and we knew that we had to go on the bus, so we all met at the bus stop. All three of us were in the same group on the mission training scheme, and we got on the bus, and there was me, Steve and Helen, and we were chatting away, and then Steve said to me, have you got directions, Kath? And I said, no. You've got them, haven't you? No. But you've got them, haven't you, Helen? No. So none of us had got any idea at all about where we were going. We just knew that we were on the right bus, because we'd all got on the bus together. Well, we assumed that we were on the right bus. So we'd all got on it together. And so, what are we going to do? And me and Helen were like, what are we going to do? Well, we'll have to get off, we'll have to go and phone. And Steve said, well, why don't we just pray about it? well, what are we going to pray? And he said, well, just pray that God will send us a sign. So me and Helen said, okay then. Full of faith. And we prayed that God would send us a sign. And people got on the bus and people got off the bus. We went out into the wilds of beyond. And it was very, very dark. And at the end of the... At the end, there was one girl on the bus in front of us, and Steve said, I think we should follow her. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. So we all got off the bus. This girl got off the bus, and we got off the bus. And the three of us followed it. It was really pitch black. And we turned up this little road. And as we turned up the road, no idea where we were at all, in the middle of nowhere. And this girl turned around and she said, either three from the missionary training school have come to help out tonight. Right.
Yay!
Yay, we are! Faith and listening to God, talking to God, and just God being the first one that Steve turned to. I can't take the credit. Steve just said, let's pray. Let's pray. And God will direct us because we're here to do his work. And I just wonder how difficult it was for Abraham when Pharaoh went to him and said, why have you done this? Why have you done this to us? Why couldn't you be truthful? Why couldn't you ask your God? Why have you done it? And I wonder how Abraham felt and how we feel when we don't turn to God, and we don't rely on him. And I know sometimes it's really difficult to rely on him, and that we rely on ourselves. Most of us here have been at work, we've been in charge, we've led things, we've had families, and you learn to cope. But so often we learn to cope without God. And God is very much sometimes a small little bit that we keep for Sundays and that we keep for morning prayers. And how often do we actually let him out of the space that we put him into to let him be the God of our lives? It's just a challenge for me. It's not a sermon. It's a question really. How often do we not listen? And how often does God try to talk to us and try to tell us things? And we just say, well, actually, can you help me, please? So it's more of a challenge, really, as to how we can stop and instead of opening our mouths, open our hearts, because he's always there and he is here to meet with us and to talk with us as openly and as often as he talked in the Old Testament. I was going to lead us in prayer.